ER and mobile.
KO4HX, how are you, Miss Bernice, today?
Oh, that tells you how Miss Bernice is. We're doing fine. We're just taking some eggs down to the daughter. You know, I waited till I took my shower tonight and got all spruced up. And we got 2.5 dozen eggs. I'm going to deliver those and maybe get us a QT ice cream cone on the way home.
Glenn, I was just surprised to hear you out this late. I'm on my way over to spend the night with my grandfather since he failed 2 weeks ago.
Nice of you, Patrick. That's rough. Let me turn this radio down. Something crazy. Come on. There we go. Did you learn a lot last night?
It's more of an introductory on how things were going to go and what kind of different things there were, that kind of stuff. So it was more of that than actually putting hands on learning something.
Yeah, I wish I could go. Just too far up there for the old man. And I know it's my invitation. But the RF end of it there on that stuff, I don't know a lot about it. I went up on our repeater back in Kansas and looked at one of the repeaters there, and the 9-4 repeater, actually. It was 880 feet up on the KOAM TV tower, and for insurance reasons, they kicked us off, and then they put it on the hotel bus, which was 189 feet, and there was a tower on top of it, and I got to climb up that tower some, and oh, man, I'd never been that high on a tower. That'll make your old something pucker.
I bet it will. But I'll leave the climbing to younger, more agile people.
Volunteered to climb that KOM TV tower for years. They had the transmitter gear up there on the tower. And when they'd go up there, and they start up way early in the morning, and by the time they got down, it was nighttime, and that was the middle of the summer. And finally, they got some smarts, and they put it down at the bottom of the tower. They had heliacs, like 2 inches or something like that, going all the way up. But what was funny to watch is when they put a rope up there to that guy to haul up whatever he needed, and that rope went out clear over the highway, 69 at times.
Amazing what you can do with a block and tackle, or a couple of blocks and tackle.
Taking down a few towers and used a gin pole one time on a tower, and Bernice and I helped a guy take one down, and that was a hair-raising experience, I'll tell you. And it was only about 50 feet, but my tower was 50 feet. But you get up the top of it, and it'll make your knees get a little bit weak. Although I've worked as an electrician, I had to go up 55, 65 feet on a regular basis. But you had a little better footing than a tower.
Can't say that I've ever really been that high above the ground unless I was in a plane or on a platform, so... I think I would like to keep it that way.
And then 0TR Mobile. Well, you know, the worst one was, and Bernice will tell you this is true, a friend of mine, his wife, said that I could have an antenna off a tower after he passed away. It was a 13-element boomer like you got. But this tower had, like, instead of rungs, it had, like, big wire. It was sort of like an S's going up, but I'm sure you've seen them. Well, I got up there, and I took the antenna off and let it down, and about that time, I felt my foot go kawump, and it went down by one of those wires between my arch and the outside of the tower, and I was stuck, and I didn't really have good climbing gear at the time. And I'm just holding on. It was a small tower. And it got to the point where I said, I'm going to try one more time to get my foot out of there. And it was painful. And I said, if I don't get it out, you're going to have to call the fire department out and have them get a bucket truck up here and get my foot out. Thankfully, it come out.
They should have just left you up there.
That's a one.
KO4HKX. Well, I have arrived at my destination, Tom. You, Miss Bernice, and David, hello to you. Y'all have a good evening, and I will listen for you on the net, KO4HKX.
Say hello to your grandpa, Patrick, KO4HKX and 0TR. Over to you, Dave.
73 is Patrick. Well, Mr. Tom, yeah, I put my tower up. It was 56 feet, and that's about as high as I ever wanted to go. it was not any fun. And the only thing I regret is I left it there. I didn't take it down. But anyway, that's been a long time ago, so a lot of water's gone under the bridge since then.
I had to cut mine up when I left Kansas, and just broke my heart. I thought I'd never meet anybody down here on ham radio, and boy, I'm glad I did. Well, there are a few exceptions like you, of course, but Bernice is laughing at me over here. But it was for the best, and when I got down here, I just decided I'm too old, and I didn't want to have my kids come out and take that down someday, and so I didn't put one up. And gotta watch these guys. They run red lights around here like crazy. We're just headed down to the daughter's to take her some eggs tonight, Dave. How you doing?
I'm headed over to Easley, well, actually Powdersville, I guess, to my grandson's basketball game. Starts at 8 o'clock.
I kind of enjoyed watching basketball games when I played in the pep band, but otherwise I'd have never went to them. I was required to.
This is the third time this week, and it's getting kind of old. I mean, you know, my daughter wants me to be there because, you know, her and her ex-husband, you know, got divorced, and but he's their coach. That's kind of weird. But he wants me to be there, so, you know, but I don't go to all of them. I mean, you know, I got other things to do, and, yeah, tennis is one of them.
You back to playing regularly?
I mean, you know, I've been doing fine. I just, the weather hadn't been conducive to play, and the courts, they get wet, and then they freeze overnight, and then they thaw out some, and they'd still be wet, so you couldn't play on them, and that's gone on since sometime in December, late December, and this week's the first time, I think this week, I might have played on them one day last week, but anyway, we got to play on them three times this week, so, I tell you, but it's supposed to rain all week long next week, so I'm just really looking forward to that.
It keeps going up. I was watching for emergency traffic here, and ambulance just went by here at the Taco Bell at Buncombe Road or 101 Wade Hampton. sometimes are followed by other equipment, so I roll the windows down and listen. These cars are so quiet anymore, sometimes you just can't hear them coming until they get right on you, and that old boy went through the intersection at about 50 miles an hour. And that's a busy intersection. But which one's that? That pizza? Oh, Mexican restaurant's full. Del Aventura's is full. Boy, that's a good pizza place, Dave. I don't like pizza really that much, but we ate there one time a long time ago. Man, they really put on the feed bag, let me tell you. Well, I'm glad to hear you're feeling better. You had so much bronchial trouble that I didn't know if you'd finally gotten over that.
I have to divorce my wife to completely get over it. Because she's given it to me twice. I've had it in December, and then I had it even worse in January. And she's still coughing, and she won't go to the doctor. And my our oldest daughter's a nurse. I told her last night, I said, listen to her cough. And I said, ask her, if she's been to the doctor and how long she's been coughing. Because it's been about 5 weeks, and I'm just getting tired of it. I get well, but then I get sick again in just a few days because she just walks around the house coughing.
Some mobile in front of Greer Hospital. Well, that's what urgent cares are for. She don't have to go into her doctor. She can go to urgent care. The insurance pays for it.
But you can't tell my wife anything. She knows it all. And we've got the doctor, I guess, they has a same-day care. You call them up, and you can see a doctor that day, and so I did that twice, and he gave me some pills for the cough I had, and man, those things work fantastic. I didn't even have to finish them. I don't think he gave me like a whole month's supply, but it worked good, and I'm not coughing anymore. But and I had a little sinus thing going on, but I think it's about gone. So I'm just trying to keep my hands washed and that kind of thing. KB4CBA.
Dear old TR, gotta watch this traffic there. Kind of crazy out here tonight. The roads are slick, but you never know it, the way people drive. They don't pay attention to wet roads. I mean, they walk among us, and they drive among us. They've got a lot more rain down here by the airport than we got up north.
I'm at our house, it stopped now. I think it might have lasted about 30 minutes or so. And I was just looking around. I'm at Shaw and Rutherford, and the roads are kind of semi-wet here, where it's obviously been raining, but they're about dried up now.
Seeing airplanes down here off and on through they're below the clouds. Did you see the reason that one of the main reasons that helicopter crashed into that airliner out there in Washington, D.C.?
No, I haven't heard any details in the last, since that happened, really. So what's the latest?
Well, even general aviation around here, if they're flying into certain classes of airports like this one here, where there's a lot of traffic, I don't know if it's Class B or Class A, whatever it is. They're mandated now to have a system called ADS-B. And when I was in the service, they had IFF, Identification Friend or Foe. And if you ever listen to the airlines before they take off, they tell them to squawk a certain code. That way it paints it on the air traffic controller's radar. Well, he had that going on the helicopter, but he had turned off ADS-B, which is required. And so they could not tell precisely, let me get over. All kinds of lights up here for some reason. I guess it's an accident. And just before you get to GSP, but he had that turned off. And so I do not think that they also could see his altitude on the scope, because I think that's one of the things that displays besides just the squawk, you know, the code. And that's a shame. He was like 100 feet above where he was supposed to be. And I don't see why in the world that a helicopter fly at 200 feet when they got airplanes coming in. And there was at 300 feet when they got hit.
KB4CBA, I understand that's a real busy place right there. They got commercial, they got military, they got law enforcement around. Yeah, so I can't even imagine, you know, trying to, you know, fly through there and trying to land yeah, it's really sad that we have the technology and he just didn't have it turned on. I tell you, you know, you don't hear a tremendous amount of collisions, mid-air collisions, but they do happen, and yeah, I like to watch what's it called, the aviation, I call it the aviation accident channel. But anyway, they you know, they show some older stuff and then some newer stuff, and I mean, there's a lot going on in that cockpit. I just can't imagine, you know, trying to land that jet and then having to keep an eye on, you know, people around you.
It's not as hard as you would think, and the automation's incredible now. I was in a flight crew, and in the smaller plane, all of the back and forth between the pilots and air traffic net. I had a helmet on and a full helmet, and I could hear all of that. And they talk extremely fast. That's the only gripe I had. You had a hard time doing it, but guys, there's so many things that guide you in, and you can get on the glide slope now, and it tells you whether you're above it or below it. We had CCA on the carriers, and it was carrier-controlled approach, and they talked to you the carrier 200 feet and a half a mile. You'd wave off, and I've seen that, you know, in the fog and that. But down here, they can land a plane at 250 feet visibility day. It's incredibly accurate. And, he was not where he was supposed to be, and that's a shame, and he was at the wrong altitude. They were flying a mission to where they, it was a doomsday thing, and what that means is it was to get the congressman and that out of there in case of the nuclear attack or something big like that happened. So maybe that's why he had the ADS-B turned off. I do not know. But he shouldn't have. It's it's a law, and what laws applies to the military might be different than civilians, but there was quite a few things went on. I've flown into that airport many times. One of the bad things is they built Dulles Airport, and it's about 25 or 30 miles, as I remember it, out of town. It's an international. This one's called Reagan now, but it used to be National when I flew in there. I went to school on a computer out there years ago, and I've been there several times. But the congressman didn't want it. They had it scheduled to shut it down because it was so dang dangerous anyways. And you remember that one that crashed into the bridge there, and they were picking people up out of the river, oh, 15, 20 years ago, I'm sure. But the congressman didn't want it shut down because it inconvenienced them to have to drive out to Dulles. And so they squawked about it, and they didn't shut it down. Well, now they've actually approved that there would be more aircraft allowed to land there in recent months. And on top of that, last week they had a near miss, and the guy coming in for a landing in the commercial plane had to wave off and go around. The percentage of waved offs is teeny tiny when a plane is coming in of that size. They very rarely ever go around, and he had to go around because of helicopter traffic a week before that happened.
It was really unfortunate. All those people had to die, but in the other one you were talking about where the jet hit the bridge and then went down in the water, and it was freezing cold. They actually showed some footage from that, and showed them, rescuing people. I think one of the people that was on the surface, because not everybody got out of the plane, but anyway, one of the people on the surface, I think, died because they were helping everybody else, and they died from hypothermia, I believe. But that was just an awful mess there, and I don't remember what caused the plane to, it wasn't gaining altitude, so I don't remember what the cause was, but they knew at a certain point that they were going down, and there wasn't a whole lot they were going to be able to do about it.
I remember seeing a helicopter from the Park Service let that lady grab a hold of that room on the landing gear part of the helicopter and drag her across, and she fell off once, and they come back and got her again and drug her over to the sign. That was pretty amazing. I don't know, I think they were just too low or something. I can't remember the specifics of it, Dave. But when you take off there is what they call a noise abatement. And what they've done is they've let everybody build their houses all around the airport after the airport had been there many years. And that's happening around here, too. So everybody bitched about it. So you ought to see the pattern they got to fly down the river in order to abate the noise as they fly out of there. And I got caught there one night because some guy set his briefcase down and they thought there was a bomb in it. So they shut down that part of the airport, and I had to go outside in a snowstorm, which I wasn't dressed for, and go all the way around over to the other terminal where I was going out. And by the time I got there, I saw the aircraft being pushed away, and they sure weren't going to come back for Tom. And so I got to stay the night with all of the cleaners in the airport that were mopping the floors and picking up the cigarette butts, and wait till the next day to get a flight out. I'll never forget that. Because they shut the airport down at midnight for noise abatement. This is Enger LTR.
I was watching the airplane show. I can't think of the name of it. And this particular airport, they were showing that night, they have to, the pilots taking off have to throttle back, you know, after they get up to a certain altitude to, for the noise that they create. I think that's kind of stupid, but, you know, because when you're taking off, if anything, I'd be wanting to give it more throttle, not less. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But I don't know if that plane, if they forgot to lower their flaps at takeoff, or some of those jets had the screws that operated the stabilizers was stripped, and you know, they of course, you know, once that happens and you can't raise the stabilizer or lower it, you're kind of stuck whichever direction it's you know, pointing the nose. So anyway, but you know, I hate all those people. A lot of people in that jet didn't make it.
It's not nice to hate people.
I just hate it for them.
And some QRM morons coming in there, Dave. We've arrived anyway, so let him have his fun, and I will talk to you later, buddy. Take care. KB4CBA, I enjoyed it. This is N0TR, clear, and QRT.
Calling people, this is Mary Christian, like, sir.
I didn't hear that for some reason, Dave. My radio's going off now, N0TR.
Yeah, I think we had a double there. Try it again.
Seems like that isn't very Christian-like.
Yeah, well, interfering with a FCC radio is against the law. It's called an illegal transmission there. Anyways, Dave, good night. N0TR clear.
Okay, N0TR KB4 CBA. Enjoy it, Tom 73.